Thank you. Yes.
Strong dinner. Commercial table for dinner. Besides, for week. Good morning. Now that we are coming into the fall season, I hope everyone's enjoyed the summer. Great to see everyone this morning. God bless you for coming into the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. We will all be blessed by being here. We will rejoice in the fellowship one with another. But above all, we will fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome, we worship. Marjorie, it's over to you. Fresh back from Hawaii.
Good morning. Just to let you know that any donations that you want to make because of the tsunami disaster in Japan and the earthquake can be made through your envelopes as long as you mark them Japan on them. Samaritan's Purse is a mission of our church, and it'll get to the place intended. Food bank donation. There's a box in the foyer for your Lent and self-denial gifts for the food bank. Please be generous as we express our gratitude to God for his grace to us. And also thank you to the mustard seed volunteers who went on Wednesday evening and provided food to the guests. Peggy is planning a bit of a scaled-down Easter choir for this year. She's going to just have one anthem instead of the three, and which scales the rehearsal time down too. So if you're interested in singing for Easter, there's a sign-up sheet out front. Alan had something to say.
I just wanted to take a moment to thank you all for your prayers for Shar over the peace. Yesterday she was standing on her own 2 feet, straight and tall. Thank you very much.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Alan. And Wilma.
Good morning, everyone. We've had a really good turnout these past 3 days for pictures. A lot of people turned out. Everyone's been very happy. There's one more day now, April 1st. The sign-up sheet is still there, so if you haven't had your picture, you can sign up. There's only a few slots, but they will give us some extra time if we need it. And we're also looking for a few pictures of Vacation Bible School or Sunday School. So if you have some fun pictures over the year, if you can email them either to myself or to Bill Kampheis, then we can get those in the directory as well. Thank you, everybody, for showing up.
Thank you, Wilma. Are there any other announcements?
I just want to expand very briefly on what Marge said about the mustard seed, the volunteers. This past Sunday, Dave went down with the youth group. And, you know, when you think of the young people from our church and they're volunteering to go down and help to feed the street people, that's great. And Dave tells me that it's a great learning experience for our youth to go down there and to participate in reaching out to help the needy. They see life, you know, the tough side of life, which sometimes, you know, we're all protected from. And Dave tells me it was good. Where is he?
It was good.
I told you, it was good. And we appreciate it, Dave. Thank you. And thanks to the kids who went down there. Peggy's little notice about the choir. Peggy asked us to emphasize this. She wants people to do a little choir. She says, if it's too big a deal to do a big commitment, well, she says, let's still have some Easter music. Because I think Peggy and Laurie are planning... Where's Laurie? She's over there. Peggy and Laurie are planning on doing a piano organ duet for Easter, but she would like to have a choral piece as well, and that would be nice. So if you're able to, for the short time it's needed for those practices, please sign up and Peggy will come back delighted. Deliciously delighted. Are there any other announcements? You guys ready? We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence.
Courses this morning, we're going to start out with
I know you're keen. For our call to worship this morning, we see one verse in particular, which you probably all know by heart, and it's that amazing verse from John 3:16, but we also move on to 17. The Lord Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." No, David!
Okay, so we're going to start out our choruses this morning with "I Will Call Upon the Lord." So if you want to stand, and then I got some directions for you here. So this is a round. So pay attention. Okay, you guys are going to follow Yako and me. You guys are going to follow the ladies. Okay?
No, I'm staying.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm staying with the guys.
I will call upon the Lord.
Second chorus, we're going to sing "In Christ Alone." Finish off our choruses this morning with I Believe in Jesus. When Pat can't sing, we're lost.
The worship team have everyone on their toes. We'll start our prayer this morning with Amen. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you, Father, that you have spoken to each and every one of us individually this morning. You have called us to come to this place, to this holy place of worship. And as we come through the doors, Lord, we are immediately enveloped by your wonderful love. We see your love shining from the faces of our friends, of our brothers and sisters in Christ as we gather here to worship. We feel your love, Lord, in the handshakes and the hugs. And we know, Lord, that your Spirit, your blessed Holy Spirit, is in this place and is upon each and every one of us. As we worship you, Holy Father, open our hearts and minds, bless us with the grace of your Spirit, and we pray, gracious Lord, that you will accept the love and the grace and the joy that we bring to you, for we come in the name of Jesus, and we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Morning again. I'm a long way from my guitar, so I won't get it wrong this time. Our Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And our responsive reading is from Psalm 121. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from?
My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber.
Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. Both now and forevermore.
In all of the excitement at the beginning of the service, I did not get the opportunity to welcome the worship team helping us in leading our worship today. Welcome. Good to have you all up on the stage with me. And we also say thank you to Pat, who is leading us in our music this morning from the piano. Thank you. And now we hand over to the worship team, who will lead our worship once again, this time with their special music, Indescribable. Maybe Pat has more to say about that. I don't know.
So we've been wanting to actually do some new special music for a long time. So I found this one, Indescribable. It seems so easy on YouTube. But for guitars, it's quite difficult. So Pat's been saving up her voice. And our apologies to Chris Tomlin if we butcher this.
From the highest of powers, the depths of the sea. uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, oh. Unpowerful, untamable. Awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God. Who has stole every lightning bolt where it should go? Or seen heavenly storehouses plated with snow? Who imagined the sun and his source to its light?
Thanks to our worship team. That was great. And you didn't butcher it, Damon. It was excellent. Very well performed. We thoroughly enjoyed it. You notice there's a piece in there that talked about snow. You see the snow. And when it talked about the sun, it says you've got to use your imagination. It's true. It's all true. Thank you so much. Thank you. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you.
Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Gracious Lord, our Father, we can never thank you enough for all that you do for us, for the blessings that you so freely shower down upon us in our daily living. But we thank you nevertheless, Lord, and we come now and we bring our gifts to you, and we ask you, Lord, to take these gifts, to multiply them, and we pray, gracious Lord, that with these gifts and with the givers, that your love may be spread throughout this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The children would like to come and join me, please.
Thank you.
God's love is for all of us, for you especially. God loves you so much that we cannot ever measure it. And that's where we land from this morning. Shall we pray? We thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that we can never ever measure how big or how wide or how long your love is. Us. Thank you, Father. We pray that you will help us to love you just the same. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. And now we are going to stand and we're going to sing to the glory of God. The hymn number 58, This is My Father's World. Come to our time of prayer. I'd just like to reference briefly to what Alan said to us about Charlene. You know, we talk about prayers being answered, and here's Charlene, who has been suffering for so long, and we have known for a long time that her bones were in a terrible condition. And a couple of weeks ago, when Iris and I went to see her, she was so excited about having this operation, this hip operation. So excited, you know, you kind of think, gee whiz, I wonder what it's going to work out like. And here is Alan telling us that yesterday she's on her feet, standing on her own two feet. Praise the Lord. What about the power of prayer? It is just amazing. And Jesus says, with your prayers and the power of God, you can move mountains. You can move mountains. And we know at this time that there are some mountains to be moved in the country of Japan. And I know that all of your prayers are with the people of that country and with all of the people who are trying to bring some relief to all of the things that have been going on there. Keep praying for them. Prayer is a wonderful and powerful medium that God works through. You know, and God kept says, seek and you will find, ask and you will receive. Keep coming back to me, he says, keep coming, badger me. Keep a God and pray for the people of Japan. And within our pastoral prayer this morning, I've prepared a little section which is specifically about the people of Japan. God hears every prayer. He is listening now. And we bow our heads and we join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you today, Lord, for who we are, for who you are. We thank you for your majesty and for your power, for your holiness and for your love, and for all of this world, Lord, that you have created. And we thank you, Father, that you care for us and you watch over us. And most of all, Lord, we give you thanks for your invitation, the invitation that you have given and you give to each and every one of us to be part of you, to be part of your family, to be made new by your Spirit, and to glimpse the new heaven and the new earth. Help us, we pray, Lord, to have belief, to have faith, to have trust, and to have obedience in you and towards you. Lord, grant us joy in our journey of life. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to become channels of your joy and your blessings to all of those whom we encounter. We give our hearts to you, Lord, again. We give our yearning, we give our hopes. We bring to you, Lord, our weaknesses. We give to you, Lord, our strengths. We offer ourselves, all of us, Lord, to you. And we offer to you also, Lord, and we are thankful that we can do this. We offer to you the cares and the concerns of our hearts. In our mind's eye, Lord, we can see friends at this time who are suffering. And we whisper their names to you, Father, and we whisper our prayer that they may be made whole, that they may experience the kingdom of God reaching and touching them with your blessed peace. And we pray, Lord, that they may be enfolded by your holy healing arms, that they may know of your gracious and glorious presence in their lives. For our friends, Lord, who suffer at this time, we pray in silence. We pray for the people of Japan. Almighty God, our Father, we pray not only for those whose lives have been darkened by disaster over these recent days, but also for those, Lord, whose faith has been shaken. For those who stand bewildered and fearful in the midst of this tragedy. For the bereaved, for the injured, and for the destitute. We commend, Lord God, to your grace all who are seeking to help and to heal the injured and to comfort and calm the bereaved. From you alone, Father, can come the word that will lift all of these people above their darkness. Answer, O Lord, the questions in their minds and assure them, Father, that though disaster is not of your will, that you indeed are present with them in their suffering and in their sorrow, and you, Lord, can enable them once again to find purpose, to find hope, and to find peace. Lord God, bless us this day as we worship you. Watch over us and our homes and our families in the week ahead. And help us, Father, as we seek to lift high the name of Jesus in all things that we say and in everything that we do. May we bring nothing to you, Lord, but honour and glory to you, Lord, whom we worship and who we adore. We come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our prayers and the unspoken prayers of our hearts, and we bring them to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Morning. The gospel reading is from John 3:1-17. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And the epistle reading is from Romans 4:1-5, 13-17. "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir to the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, 'I have made you a father of many nations.' He is our Father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were."
Thanks to Bob for those readings from the scriptures. And now we stand and we sing again. The hymn number 505, it says 522 in the bullet, but that's my fault. It should say 505. And we sing to God's glory, "Love Lifted Me." Chris and I were in England and we went to the little Methodist church. We had a little men's group, and it was only a small group of men, but they were very enthusiastic singers, and they often used to sing that hymn, Love Lifted Me. And halfway through the chorus, when you get to Love Lifted Me, the guys used to bellow out, Hallelujah! It was great. It was so inspiring. And I know when we are singing it, I'm tempted to burst into that Hallelujah bit in the middle. Iris probably is as well. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dr. Billy Graham tells of a time a lot earlier in his ministry when he arrived in a small town to preach at a meeting. He had arrived a little early and he wanted to finish writing his letter to his folks back home. So when he finished the letter, he asked a young boy on the sidewalk how to find the post office, how to get to the post office. And when the boy had given him directions, Billy Graham thanked him and said to the lad, "If you will come to the Baptist church this evening, you can hear me tell everyone how to get to heaven." And the boy says, "I don't think so. You don't even know the way to the post office." In In our gospel reading today, Jesus talks with one of the religious leaders, a man named Nicodemus. And in their conversation, Jesus explains how a person can get to heaven. How a person can get to heaven. And the first thing that Jesus tells him is that in order to be saved, he must be born again. He's got to be born again or born from above. A Sunday school teacher was telling her children about Jesus and about specifically Jesus' teaching on being born again. And she was trying to explain to them the difference between our physical birth and our spiritual birth. And as she worked to draw the subject out of the kids, she asked the question, "So do you think, are you actually born a Christian?" And one young lad put up his hand and he says, "No, miss, we are born normal." We are born normal. Nicodemus, we are told, came to see Jesus by night. He was a Pharisee, but he was also a member of the Jewish ruling council, the Great Sanhedrin. This was the supreme court of the whole of ancient Israel. It was the top 71 men from amongst the Pharisees, the scribes, the high priests, all of the top-ranking religious dignitaries. To be a member of this ruling council was to hold a very elevated and prestigious position in Jewish life. And so we've got Nicodemus, this very important man, comes to see Jesus by night. We don't actually know why he came by night. The scripture doesn't tell us. Maybe that was just the best time to get a private word with Jesus. Maybe it was the time to best avoid Jesus or himself having to face awkward questions from other people. But we don't know why. But whatever the reason was, Nicodemus wanted to see Jesus and he wanted to talk to him privately. He approaches Jesus quite respectfully. Despite his own elevated position in society, he calls Jesus Rabbi. But you know what? He never actually asks Jesus a question at this point. He says to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." Didn't ask a question. He made a statement. Yet Jesus perceives that Nicodemus has a question on his mind. And Jesus, because Jesus is God with us, he knows what's on Nicodemus's mind. He knows what's on your mind right now or whenever. He knows. And Jesus answers the unasked question. We might not know what the question was, but we know what the answer was. In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." And these words from Jesus are very, very important to anyone who wants to go to heaven. Now, we're not going right now, but who wants to go to heaven? We all do. We all want to go to heaven. So Jesus says, unless you are born again, or born from above, unless, then you are not going to heaven. You've got to be born again. And so it is of vital importance that we need to know, what does it mean, being born again? And that's exactly what Nicodemus wanted to know. He wanted to know, what does it mean, this being born again? When Jimmy Carter was elected President of the United States, you may remember that he declared that he was a born-again Christian. And when the next primaries came around, surprisingly, several of the candidates declared themselves to be born-again Christians. Being born again became a fashionable means to a political end. Not accusing our politicians of anything. But you know, you've got to do what you've got to do. Some people think the term born again is exclusively charismatic or a fundamentalist term. A term that respectable Christian people don't use. But we need to remind ourselves that these are the words of Jesus. These are the words of God. And he states quite clearly, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. And Nicodemus appears to take Jesus' words quite literally. How can a man be born when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born. And it is then that Jesus explains what being born again means. Listen to the word of God. I tell you the truth. And then Jesus says it again. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. That's it. That is Jesus' explanation of being born again. And at this point in time, we could be forgiven if we were on the same page as Nicodemus. And in our minds, we might be asking, yeah, okay, but what does it mean? What does it mean? First of all, Jesus says that we are born of water. We are surrounded by water in the womb. This is the physical birth that we've all been through. It was our physical birth that gave us life here on earth. And then Jesus says, after your life on earth is finished, if you wanted to continue in heaven, if you want to spend all of eternity in heaven and not in hell, you've got to be born again. But this time of the Spirit. You've got to ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life, to change your life, and to make you a spiritual person. And the reason that we need to be born of the Spirit is because from the day that you were born physically, you were born with a nature and a tendency to sin. Do you have to teach a child to tell lies when you catch him with his hand in the cookie jar? Well, of course you don't. He'll tell you, no, I didn't. Didn't take one. No, I haven't. It's natural to tell lies. It's natural to sin. It's built within us. It's in our tendencies. And the Bible teaches us in Ephesians 2, verse 1, that from birth we were all dead in our trespasses and our sins. We were unable to do what is right because we are natural sinners. Our natural instincts tell us to tell a lie, to do wrong, to do a misdeed. And this is the way we remain unless we are born of the Spirit, born from above, as Jesus says, born again by the Spirit. The Greek words translated born again also translate as born from above, born from above. We were born naturally as natural sinners. Jesus tells us this. We've got this natural tendency to sin and to do wrong. But Jesus says, to enter the kingdom of heaven, we must be born again. We've got to be born of the Spirit, born from above. We have an earthly birth. We need a spiritual birth. And so Nicodemus, a religious leader, a prominent teacher of the law and the prophets, but he did not understand. There are many, many people today in our churches. They are at the same point that Nicodemus was at. They faithfully come to church. They faithfully read the scriptures. They faithfully follow the commandments. But they are not born of the Spirit. They do not understand what it means to be born again. They do not understand the language of heaven. And this is what Jesus again is saying. A lot of the things that people who are born of the Spirit talk about, born of the Spirit, born of water and the Spirit, all this saved, it's church language. It's church language. And if a person is not born of the Spirit, it's gibberish. They do not understand it. And so Jesus tells Nicodemus, you do not believe when I talk to you about things on earth. How can you possibly believe if I talk to you about heavenly things? You've got to be born of the Spirit to understand what Jesus is talking about when he talks about heaven. And many people do not understand the language of heaven. To do so, Jesus tells Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. And that, says Jesus, is the only way that you will ever enter the kingdom of God. He doesn't just tell Nicodemus, he tells you and he tells me. He tells all of us, the only way that you're going to get into the kingdom of God is to be born again, born of the Spirit. There was a small jazz club in New Orleans. And in the corner of that club was a really dilapidated old piano. All of the jazz artists who went to play at that club complained about this antiquated instrument. The pianists dreaded playing it. The singers dreaded trying to sing along with it. And finally, after years of listening to these jazz musicians constantly complain about his piano, the club owner decided to do something about it. He painted it. Father Henry Nguyen, who is a Christian author and a Dutch Catholic priest, on reflecting on the story of Nicodemus, he writes this: I love Jesus, but I want to hold on to my friends, even when they do not lead me closer to Jesus. I love Jesus, he says, but I want to hold on to my independence, even when that independence doesn't give me any real freedom. I love Jesus, but I do not want to lose the respect of my professional colleagues, even though I know that their respect does not make me grow spiritually. I love Jesus, but I do not want to give up my own plans. My own plans for writing, traveling, speaking. Even when these plans of mine are often to my glory rather than to the glory of God. And Father Nguyen realizes that he isn't all that different from Nicodemus. And he's a priest. And he says, so I am like Nicodemus, who came by night and said safe things about Jesus to his colleagues. So even a man, a great Christian father, a great Christian leader, Father Henry Nguyen, admitted that he was content to just paint the old piano. The inside hadn't really changed. It's only the outside that seemed to be different. So does painting the old piano make any difference to the quality of the sound? Of course it doesn't. Of course it doesn't. And God has this story of Nicodemus in the Bible because God knows that there is something of Nicodemus in every single one of us. It's always easier to play it safe and to keep Jesus just at that distance. Much easier to do that than to declare him to be Lord of our lives. So, what about Nicodemus? Did he become born again? A little later in John's Gospel, in chapter 7 and verse 50, we read again about Nicodemus, and he argued that Jesus should be given a fair hearing before the Sanhedrin. Then we read about him again a little bit later on, following the crucifixion. One of Rembrandt's most famous etchings, entitled Descent from the Cross, portrays this scene following the crucifixion. The limp, dead body of Christ is slowly taken down from the cross. Joseph of Arimathea, dressed in all of his finery, stands there. In the darkness, further away in the shadows, as only Rembrandt could do, is Nicodemus. His face lined with sorrow. He is holding in his hands the linen cloth which the body of Christ will be wrapped in. And in St. John 19 we read, Joseph of Arimathea, he's a rich man, asks Pilate for the body of Jesus. With Pilate's permission he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus by night. Was Nicodemus still mystified by Jesus' words that he must be born again? Was he still puzzled by Jesus' words that the Holy Spirit is like the wind, that it blows where it wills, that you can feel it, you can sometimes hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes? Did Nicodemus yet understand? And Jesus said to him, "It's nothing that you do, Nicodemus. You can't earn this. You cannot work to achieve it. It doesn't matter how high a position you hold in society. It doesn't matter how many people put you on a pedestal and think you are wonderful. You cannot work to achieve this. Who you are, what you are, position, honours, successes, responsibilities in the sight of God, they count for nothing. You are saved by grace, and God's Spirit does it all. We are saved by the grace of God when we bow our heads before Him and declare Him to be the Lord of our lives. And by His Spirit, we are born again. Thanks be to God. Amen." I'm waiting for my supporting cast to come and join me. We close our service this morning with our hymns. And first of all, we stand and sing "To God's Glory," the hymn 206, "There is a Redeemer." To be God's people.
Yeah.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.
Oh.